All right, Tevo. So today's daf is Samech Aleph. Left off on the bottom of page Samech Aleph, the last line. V'lo biyochid bisman shein v'raglo makos. So one of the things the Mishnah said is that you can't go out with one shoe, on your foot at a time where there is not a wound on your foot. Remember again, just we saw two different possibilities for this. One of it was more of a maris ayin issue, which is that people will suspect if you're only wearing one shoe that maybe you're holding the other shoe under your clothing. And the second reason was that there was a fear that if you walk out with one shoe, people may make fun of you, and you may come to go ahead and remove the other shoe and end up carrying it. So says the Gemara, top of Samech Aleph. But we see from here that if you had a wound on your foot, nothing. You would be permitted to go ahead and bless you. You would be permitted to go ahead and go out with one shoe. Bless you. Rashi says, Ikal amedak de nafik biyachid, the hash da bayit hamud de behem raglo of nafik. So also, the inference of the Mishnah is that if you have a wound on your foot, you could go out with one shoe. So the Gemara says something very interesting, and this is such a fascinating question. Vehe menayu nafik. Which foot would you put the shoe on? Right? Meaning, if you have a wound on the foot, so which foot would get the shoe? So the Gemara says, we're going to see now, it's quite fascinating. There's a fundamental machlokes as to why people wore shoes. Why do people wear shoes? So the Gemara says, Amarafuna, ba'osa shiyish ba'maka. Ah, in a case where you had a maka, you would go out with the shoe on the foot with the maka. So the Gemara says, Alma Kasavar, this is Rav Huna's position. Alma Kasavar, therefore Rav Huna holds, sandal l'shum tsar of it. That why do people wear shoes? Only to alleviate tsar. Meaning in Rav Huna's model, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, sandal l'shum tsar of it. Shlo yindaf b'yesedos hadrachim v'yitzar. People only wear shoes really just to avoid the obstacles on the road. Hilchach, kisharon osot solea. The Yodin Shiish Baraglov Maka in Hoshtin also Shetoin Sashini Vyodo Elamakir Molopi Masov Shepar Sosav Kashos Veinum and Starbi Sidas Hadrachim. Supposed to listen to this. So Rav Huna said more often than not people would walk around barefoot. Right? And what happens when you walk around barefoot? The truth is your soles get hardened. So the only reason you'd really have to put a shoe on is because if your foot has some kind of injury, to protect the injury from getting worse, you'd put a shoe on. So therefore, according to Rav Huna, if you had a maka, you'd go out with the shoe on the foot that has the maka. And therefore, again, there's no concern that you may come to go ahead and take it off or be carrying, because people will know that it's only the wounded foot that has the shoe, but the other foot is totally fine. Amaka sabar, sandal shum tsar of it. The Chiyabarav says, ba'osa she'im b'maka. No. If you have a wound, the one shoe you'd be going out with is the foot that doesn't have the maka. I mean, if you had a maka, it'd be too difficult to put the shoe on the foot that has the maka. Amaka sabar l'shum tanuk. Because according to Chiyabarav, the real reason you wear shoes is why? Mishum tanuk. If tanug literally means pleasure, really comfort. Look at Rashi, l'shun tanug of it. Adam istinis virach, because most people are fastidious. Umakiri mitoch masov, shenaal naalo achal shu istinis v'zu makasa muchachas alav umevinin shemaka monas milinol. And therefore, again, in a case where a person has a wound on their foot, person won't be able to put a shoe on the foot with the wound because the foot will be too sensitive. So the Gemara says the following: Va'av Rabbi Yochanan savar lahad Rav Huna. Even Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav Huna. The Amalei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rav Shman bar Abba. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rav Shman bar Abba, "Havli masanoi, pass me my shoe. Yohiv lei diyomin." So Rav Shman bar Abba passed Rabbi Yochanan his right shoe. Amalei asisu maka. And Rav Huna said, "You've made me now like what? You've made me like one who has a maka, on his foot." And I will say, what's interesting about this story is the Gemara infers from this story that Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Huna that halacha lemaisa, you would normally only put a shoe on a wounded foot, on a foot with a wound. That was Rav Huna's position, right? So therefore, Rav Yochanan said to Rav Shmuel bar Abba, "Because you only passed me one shoe, you've made me like someone with a maka." So the Gemara says, "But one second. The Dilma Kechiyabarav Sirilek, but maybe Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Chiyabarav." The Halki Kamar, this is what he said, "Asisu shal small maka." You've made my left foot like it has a maka. Meaning maybe, So we'll say all the Gemara is trying to infer that halacha l'maisa, the fact that only passed him the right foot, the right shoe, he was going to put the shoe on the right foot, and therefore he was saying, now you've made my right foot like it has a makkah, which makes it sound like Rav Huna's position, that you only put the shoe on a wounded foot. So Gemara says, how do you know that? Maybe what he's saying is not you give me my right shoe, you've made me like what? Like my left foot is wounded, which would be like Chiya Barav. Okay. Now Rav Huna says, now the Gemara is going to go ahead and get into a different discussion. So Rav Yochanan goes according to his reasoning. The Amar Rav Yochanan, I will say, here's what's interesting about story of Rav Yochanan. Leaving aside the wounded feet for just a moment. What was interesting about Rav Yochanan is, Rav Yochanan was upset, upset is too strong a word, but we'll use upset, after Shman Bar Abba, that the Shman Bar Abba passed him his right shoe first. That's what he was upset about. He was upset that he passed him his right shoe first. So the Gemara says, the Azra Rav Yochanan Tameh, because Rav Yochanan goes according to his reasoning, the Amar Rav Yochanan Kitfilin Kach Min Olim, because Rav Yochanan is of the position that you have to treat your shoes just like your tefillin. What does that mean? Ma tefillin b'smol, just like you put tefillin on your left hand, af mina olin b'smol, so too you begin by putting on your shoes with your left shoe. Okay, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, va'az Rabbi Yochanan, da amra, actually skip down there, tefillin b'smol, ke di'afinan b'minachos me'al yadcha, mole yad keho. Dahainu small she killing in tashu. So we'll say even though of course so the Torah darshins that yadcha, the Torah writes yadcha with an additional hey. The Gemara understands that's a contraction yad keho, that you put your tefillin on your weaker hand. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that the same way that you begin by tying it. Now obviously not everybody puts it on their left hand, but that's the majority of people are right handed. So the Gemara therefore says the same way that tefillin is ultimately put on your left hand, so too you should begin putting on your shoe on the left shoe, as that's Rabbi Yochanan. You should begin putting your left shoe on as well. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, the Gemara raises the kasha. The Braisa says, Kishuhu Noel, when you put your shoes on in the morning, Noel shall yamin, va'achar kach Noel shall smol. You should put your right shoe on first, and then you should put your left shoe on. So the Braisa contradicts Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rav Yosef, hashta de tanya hochi, the Amr Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, David Hachi Avid, or David Hachi Avid. So this is very interesting. So the Gemara, so Rabbi Yosef says, well, I have a problem. Rabbi Yochanan's telling me to put on my left shoe first and then my right shoe. The Brice is telling me to put on my right shoe and then my left shoe. So Rabbi Yosef says like this. Now that we have Rabbi Yochanan telling us this way, and the Brice is telling us this way, so what's the answer? Do what you want. Do what you want. Whatever you do, you're covered. So the Gemara says, only Abayis. Abayis says, well, not so fast. Dilma, Rabbi Yochanan, Hamas Nisan lo Hashmielei. Bless you. So the Gemara says, one second, Rabbi Yochanan says, excuse me, Abayis says, maybe Rabbi Yochanan never heard this braisa. See, Rabbi Yochanan, remember, it's quite possible that Rabbi Yochanan formulated his shita without hearing about this braisa. And therefore, V'iyava Shmielei, Hava Hadrabei. And maybe had Rabbi Yochanan known this braisa, he would have retracted and ruled like the Braisa, v'inam yishmiale, v'kasavar ein halacha ka'osa mishnah. Or maybe Rabbi Yochanan did hear this Braisa, but for some reason felt that the halacha did not accord with this Braisa. So meaning, what Abayi is saying about say is, no, Rabbi Yosef, I disagree with that position, that if you want to do like the Braisa, like the Braisa, like Rabbi Yochanan, like meaning let's try to find a way to go ahead and find one particular approach. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, so listen to this. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says the following, therefore, yorei shamayim, therefore, a Yorei Shemayim, one who fears heaven, will find a way to paskin like both opinions. How do you paskin like both opinions? Umanu, who's an example of a Yorei Shemayim? Mar Brei D'Ravna. So what did he do? Hechi Ovid. Siyem D'Yemine. He put his right shoe on first. V'lo Katar. But he didn't tie it. And then, V'Siyem D'Smala. He put his left shoe on. V'Katar. And he tied his left shoe. And then only afterwards did he go ahead and tie his right shoe. So we'll say, by the way, this is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Look at Rashi. The seeing the smalei v'katar nimtza ni'ilas yamin kodemes l'smol kimas nisa Ukshiras small l'shal yomim krav Yochanan. So we'll say the beauty of this is it's an incredible compromise shita. Remember, the Braisa said put on the right shoe first, right? Why? Because in general, the right has a chashivos. The right always has an importance. Rabbi Yochanan said put on the left first. Why? Because you tie your tefillin on your left hand. So what's the link between shoes and tefillin according to Rabbi Yochanan? What's the link? Tying. You tie your tefillin on your arm, you tie your shoes. So Rabbi Yochanan therefore says just like you tie your tefillin on the left first, you should tie. So really what's the deep meaning? The Marasha says that what it's really showing is your incredible love for the mitzvah of tefillin. That's really what it's doing. That by linking the way you tie your shoes to your tefillin, you're building up to the mitzvah of tefillin. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so therefore the Gemara says, the essence is not really putting on the left shoe, the essence is the tying of the left shoe. Therefore the Gemara says, there's a way to go ahead and what? There's a way to go ahead and combine all of the shitos. Put on your right, don't tie it. Put on your left, tie it first. So you're tying the left first as a way of demonstrating your chashivos, your love for the mitzvah of tefillin. And then go back and tie the right afterwards. Look at Rashi for just a moment over here. This is quite interesting. So Rashi says, excuse me, not Rashi, Tosus. V'siyim d'smalei v'kater. So Rashi says, Omer Riva. The Riva says, the dafka le'iyin kshirahud chashiva smol tvei. B'shum d'chashivos tefillin hu b'kshira. Well, so just you have to appreciate, there's so many things here. First of all, you should understand, the real math, the Jew does nothing randomly. Everything the Jew does is thought out. Everything the Jew does is orchestrated, everything is choreographed, including how you put on your shoes. There must be a seder in life. Those who live life without a seder ultimately live life not accomplishing their full potential. Even how you put on the shoes has to follow a script. So Tosus points out over here something amazing. He says it's not the putting on of the left shoe that's the ikar, it's the tying of the left shoe that's the ikar. Listen to this. He says, Aval ipcholo, ulahai taima, yesh lino shol yomin tchila, b'mina alim she'in lem kshira. So that's why he says, for example, let's say you wear slip-ons. I guess the Tosafists had slip-ons also, right? So if you have slip-ons and there's no tying, that's why this whole thing kind of goes out. Meaning if there's no tying, you just go back to the regular order of right and then left, because right is always more important. The only time that the left comes in, says Tosus, is when there's a din of kshira, when there's a din of tying. Okay, so therefore, the Gemara goes back and says, "Sin deyimina ifelo kater, put on your right shoe, don't tie it. V'sin desmalei, put on your left shoe, the kater, and tie it. V'hader kater deyimina, and then tie your right shoe." So Rabbi will say, if you do this, this is the way to synthesize both the shitos of Rabbi Yochanan as well as the Braisa. You are giving chashivos to the left by tying it first, but giving chashivos to the right by putting it on first. And this indeed is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Amar Rav Ashi, chazina l'Rav Kahana d'lo kapit. So Rav Ashi says, I just want to tell you, I saw Rav Kahana who is not makpid on the order. I saw Rav Kahana put on his shoes and he did not. He was not attached to any particular order. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, son of the Braisa teaches, Kishahu Noel, when you put your shoes on, Noel shall yamin va'achar kach Noel shall smol. You put your right shoe on first, and then your left shoe. Kishu cholit, when you take your shoes off, cholit shall smol. You take off your left shoe first, va'achar kach cholit shall yamin, and then you take off your right. Then you take off your right. Look at Rashi. Cholitz shall smol, dezehu kvodo shall yamin, because this is the honor you give to the right. Bekulu gasina shamin chos fine. So the Gemara says, va'achre cholitz shall yamin, kishu rochitz, when you wash yourself, rochitz shall yamin, va'achal kach rochitz shall smol. You should wash the right part of your body first, and then the left. Kishu sach, when you anoint yourself with oil, sach shall yamin, you anoint the right side first, va'achre kach shall smol, and then afterwards the left. V'harotze losuch kol gufo, and someone who is going to smear their entire body with oil, sach rosho tchila, you anoint your head first, mipnei shehu melech al kol ivarov, because again, the head is the king over all of the limbs of the body. So I say again, the Maharal in Chiddush HaGadol said what I just said to you before, which is that Yisrael, who cares, meaning God, obviously it's not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is for us. Right, that ultimately teaches us that there's a seder, that there has to be an order in the way we live our lives, even in the way we ultimately wash our bodies and put on our shoes. Okay, that's the Gemara. V'lo b'tefillin. So the Gemara is, so we'll say, the Mishnah said you can't go out with your tefillin on Shabbos. Can't go out with your tefillin on Shabbos. Amar Safra, lo tema aliba demanda amar, Shabbos loves mantulinu. So Rav Safra says, this goes without saying, according to the opinion that holds, that Shabbos is not a time for tefillin. Now I will say, remember, we have a fundamental machlokas in terms of whether or not, you know, if you look, the Mishra and Shas references you to Erevin and to Menachos, where the Gemara there discusses, there's one thing we know for sure, which is, tefillin is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, that it's a time-bound mitzvah. We just don't know, or we don't know. It's a machlokas as to why it's time-bound. Some say that tefillin is time-bound because you don't wear it at night. Others say it's time-bound because you don't wear it on Shabbos. And there is a school of thought that says that you wear tefillin on Shabbos. We paskin that we don't, because we paskin that since tefillin is an os and Shabbos is an os, you only need tefillin on a day where there's no other os, there's no other sign of the covenant between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on Shabbos, which itself is an os, you don't need the os of tefillin. So the Gemara says, or Safra says, that it goes without saying, according to the Ma'an D'Amar who holds Shabbos is not the time for tefillin. That's obvious that you can't wear tefillin you can't wear tefillin outside on Shabbos, because again, there's no din of wearing tefillin at all. Ela afilu l'Ma'an D'Amar Shabbos man tefillin hu lo yetze. But even according to the Ma'an D'Amar who holds that you can wear tefillin on Shabbos, even that Ma'an D'Amar would agree that you may not go out with tefillin on Shabbos. Why? Dilma asi l'isuye b'rishus harabim. Because one may come to carry it in Rosh Sarabim. Now, I will say, the act of wearing it, as we'll see, is not carrying. What the concern is, Rashi says, Dilma, Shakyalahu Mirisha and Balafanos and Matilihu Dalaramos. Let's say a person has to relieve themselves. So a person is going to go ahead and remove at least their tefillin shel Rosh. One may come to carry it in Rosh Sarabim. V'ikad demas nilia seifa. Others focus on the seifa of the Mishnah and they say the following. The imyatza eno chayiv chatas. Because remember, how did the Mishnah paskin? If you did wear your tefillin out, you would not be chayiv achatos. Amar Safra, lo tema aliba demand amar Shabbos man tefillin hu. So obviously, according to the man d'amar who holds that Shabbos is the time that you could wear tefillin, of course, as much as you're not supposed to wear them out, if you did wear them out, you would not be chayiv achatos, right? Because you only violated the derabanan. Ela afilu leman d'amar Shabbos loves man tefillin hu, eno chayiv achatos. But even according to the man d'amar who holds that what? That Shabbos is not the time for tefillin, you're still not chai v'chatos. Why? My timer, derech malbush avida. Because Bosa, interestingly enough, even if you hold that Shabbos is not the time for tefillin, if you were to wear tefillin out, that's considered an act tefillin, the tefillin are treated like a malbush, are treated like an article of clothing, something you wear. And therefore, even though, again, Shabbos is not the zman for tefillin, and even though you're violating a derabbanan, you are not violating a da'oraisa of chutzah, by wearing them out, because it's considered to be a levisha. We'll see that later on. That's why later on we'll see later on that there are cases where if you find tefillin out in the fields or tefillin that are in danger of being ruined or being stolen, there are ways that you could transport them back into a Rosh Hashanah by wearing them. V'lo b'kmiya, l'zman she'ena mina mumcha. So furthermore, the Mishnah said that you may not go out on Shabbos with a kamiya. Kamiya is an amulet that is not from an expert. That is not from an expert. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Papa, lo tema ad demumcha gavra umumcha kamiya. Don't say that it's referring to a case where the individual who wrote the kamiya is already known to be a recognized expert in bless you in kamiya writing, or and umumcha kamiya, and the kamiya itself has already been proven to go ahead and provide some level of healing. Ela kevan demumcha gavra. Af al gav de lo mumcha kamiya. Rather, says the Gemara, when it speaks about a kamiya mumcha, it's talking about that the individual who wrote the kamiya is known to be an expert already, even though what? Even though the kamiya itself has not been proven effective. Deka nami diktani. So the Gemara says, let me prove this to you from the Braisa. Velo bikamiya bizman she'no mina mumcha. That the Mishnah said, you may not go out with the kamiya if the kamiya is not from a mumcha. Velo katani bizman she'eno mumcha. And it did not say when the kamiya itself is not a mumcha. Shema mino, indeed learn from this. What does it mean about this? The Gemara is just qualifying the case. The Mishnah said you can't go out with a kamiya, right? Bizman she'eno mina mumcha. Now remember, the concern about the kamiya is that a person may come to take it off, and they come to go ahead and carry it down an alus in Rosh Salabim. So the Mishnah says this is only if the kamiya is not from an expert. The Mishnah is just clarifying, what does it mean it's not from an expert? It means that we're talking about a kamiya that's not from someone who's proven to be an expert kamiya writer. But if someone is proven to be an expert Kamiya writer, even if what? Even if the Kamiya itself is not proven effective yet, nevertheless, one is permitted to go out with that type of Kamiya, because of the Kamiya from an expert writer, we're not concerned that one may come to remove it. It's only from a Kamiya that is not from an expert writer that we're concerned that one may come to remove it and carry it Dalet Amos. Fine. We're going to discuss this Kamiya more in just a little bit. Tan Rabbanan. Eizohu Kamiya Mumcha. What is considered to be an expert Kamiya? Expert, and that's a Mumcha means expert. What it really means, what is a proven Kamiya? Right? At what point in time does a Kamiya, does an amulet become proven in its effectiveness? So the Gemara says, Kol Sharipa, Vishana, Vishilesh. Any Kamiya that has healed three different times. It healed, it did it again, and it did it a third time. Echad Kamiya Shel Ksav, whether it's going to be, we're going to see now that there are different types of amulets. Some amulets had different psukim and different shemos of Hashem in it. So whether it's a Kamiya that has writing in it, the Echad Kamiya Shel Ikarin, or whether it's a Kamiya Ikarin, Ikarin means spices or herbs, that there were certain Kamiyos that utilized certain herbs. So whatever kind of Kamiya it is, Echad Cholesh Yesh Bal Sakana, the Echad Cholesh in Bal Sakana, whether we're dealing with someone who is deathly ill, dangerously ill, or someone who is not dangerously ill, is actually very interesting in this next part, Veloshe Nichba, Ela Koshi Yichba, and not necessarily someone who has already fallen down, but someone who may fall down. We'll say this is interesting. Look at Rashi. Veloshe Nichba, Rashi says, Kilomar, Lo Tima De Lo Yatza, Ela Mi Sheba Alava Choli Kvar Pam Achos. Nichba, Hayu Choli She Adam Nofel Machmasa La'aretz, Umakehu Berosho Bemochu Mapilo. We'll say, what's Nichba? Nichba is probably what we call epilepsy. Right? He seems to be referring over here to an epileptic seizure, that a person falls on the ground, Rashi says, and what? Makeh Barosha hits himself in the head, b'mochu mapilo. So, this is very interesting. So Rashi is saying over here that the Kamiya was sometimes used in a reactive and sometimes in a prophylactic fashion. Right? So there are different types of Kamiyos. Some Kamiyos are written psukim, some Kamiyos are written with herbs, some Kamiyos were used for a cholish yesh bo sakana, some for a cholish shein bo sakana, some to address already existing sickness, and others what? To go ahead and proactively, let's say if somebody came from a family with epilepsy, so they would use the Kamiya prophylactically to potentially try to treat the symptoms before the symptoms even presented. So all of these cases, the Gemara says, the kosher umatir afilo b'rishus harabim. This is very interesting. Says the Gemara, you could even go ahead and what? You could tie and untie the kamiya afilo b'rishus harabim, even in rishus harabim. So we'll say, this is interesting. Now, what's the chiddush over here? Now, obviously, you're not allowed to carry the kamiya in rishus harabim, but you can go ahead and tie it and untie rishus harabim. Which, of course, is quite surprising to us, considering all the things that we've learned until this point. So I just want to show you, don't go anywhere, you stay where you are. But on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, Tosas points out over here, in Tosas Bima, something amazing. So Tosas points out, I'm just going to read to you these three lines. V'nira l'ri, the dafka b'dvarim sherigilos la'asirin k'dei lahar osan, omishum chatzitza, omishum kapeda, gazu shalotis, eshem k'shiyasir l'ishkach. The Ri explains in Tosas that the only thing we are concerned that you may come to carry are the things that what? That people would normally take off to show someone else. But things that we're not concerned that a person may come to show someone else, you could even tie it and untie it in Shabbat to readjust it, and we're not concerned that you're going to come to carry it. So what Tosla says, for example, a kamiya, an amulet, is not something that people normally took off and showed to others. So because of that, says the Gemara, you're not going to go ahead and come to take it off and showed someone else, and thereby transport it. Therefore, the Braisa allows you to what? To go ahead and tie it and untie it, even in Shuradim. That's not how, we'll see. The Mishnah obviously disagrees with that, depending on the type of Kamiya. Remember, the Braisa over here is talking about a Kamiya min Amumcha. The Braisa is talking about over here an expert Kamiya. The Mishnah is talking about a non-expert Kamiya. No, not if it's not a Kshir Shakayama. No, you're not tying a permanent knot, aren't you? You're tying a knot to fasten temporarily around your neck.
This is a kamiya
that's been working. The Braisa
that's working.
That's correct. That's the Braisa. The Mishnah, when it said you can't go out with a kamiya, was talking about a kamiya she'eino min amumcha. So if it's not working or not yet working, a person's not married to it. So okay, I'll take it off, I'll put it on. That's mizafir. But the Brice Uber is talking about, again, the kamiya itself is working, and therefore no concern you're going to come to carry it. Ubilvad, shalo yikshirena bishir, ubishir ubitabas. However, this is all assuming that what? All assuming that you do not tie it, shir is a bracelet, tabas is a ring. Why? Because if you tie the kamiya to a bracelet or to a ring, so Rashi points out over here, mishum maris ayin de lo mechsi kiman de boy le lirafua, ela le tachshit, vela tachshitu ela machmas da'agas choli. So the Gemara is something very interesting, because if you attach it to the bracelet, or you attach it to the ring, it looks like it's a tachshit, but a kamiya is not really a tachshit. So if it's not really a tachshit, then what it really ends up being is a masui, and you'd be chayif for carrying it on Shabbos. V'atanyo, but the Gemara says, Eizohu kamiya mumcha, but the Brayza says, what is an expert kamiya? Kol sheripa gimel b'nei adam ke'echot. Well, this is very interesting. But the Brayza said that what's an expert kamiya? The expert kamiya is any one kamiya that healed three people ke'echot, that healed three different people. Rashi says, u'le'el katani kol sheripa v'shine v'shilesh afilu adam echot. The Brayza says, Rashi leaves out this word echot. So according to Rashi, the way to read the Gemara is kol sheripa gimel b'nei adam. Now we'll say we have another Brayza that says that what makes a kamiya an expert kamiya? That it healed three different people. Now the reason why this seems to contradict us is because the Brayza that we quoted on Amud Aleph says that what makes a kamiya an expert kamiya is that it healed three times. But it makes it sound like what? Even if it healed the same person three times. This second Brayza seems to indicate that in order for a kamiya to become an expert kamiya, it must go ahead and heal three different people. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Ha limechuye gavra, ha limechuye kamiya. One is to establish the person as an expert kamiya writer, and one is to establish the kamiya as an expert kamiya. What does that mean, Rav Ozai? That if one person goes, if in order for a person to be established as a expert kamiya writer, he must have healed three different people with his kamiyos. As opposed to in order for a kamiya to become an expert kamiya, right, it has to go ahead and, I'm sorry, I said that just the opposite. Just the opposite. Look at Rashi. Halim chuye gavra. I'm sorry. Hadik tani gimel b'nei adam mishum destam gimel b'nei adam shlosha minei chaloyim va'ayri b'gimel minei kamoyim kamiyin she'inan domen zelazeh ulam chuye gavra. In order for a person to become established as an expert kamiya writer, the kamiyos that he writes must heal three different people. Shina'aseh mumcha b'chol kamiyim shi'aseh li'olam. However, v'ha Rashi is diktani kol sheripa v'shine v'shileish mayri becholi echad v'kasuz alacha sheripa gimim pa'amim olu adam echad olu shlosha ulam tachuye kamiya. So meaning even if one person becomes healed three times, that shows that the kamiya itself is an expert kamiya. But in order for a person to be considered an expert kamiya writer, he must have healed three different people. Amar papa pshita li tlas. I'm sorry?
Three different diseases. Got cured and then he got sick again. He's not really cured.
Say that again.
Is he cured three different diseases or the same disease three times?
So that's Rashi points out over here that it's three different diseases. Shlosha minei chaloyim. Three different sicknesses. Three different sicknesses, right. Because if it goes away, it comes back, and maybe didn't do such a good job the first time.
Yeah. Go to ITT for a course.
I'm sorry?
Go to ITT for a course on how to write them.
Go to ITT.
Take a course.
Right. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Pshita li tlas kamir le tlas gavri, tlasa zimni. So Rav Papa says like this. If a person wrote three kamios, the three people, three different times, and it worked all three, so it worked for all three people, all three different times. So the Gemara says, Ismichi gavra, the ismichi kamiya. That shows that the individual, again, is a proficient kamiya writer, and the kamiyos themselves are proven kamiyos. Tlosa kamiya le tlosa gavri. However, again, if you wrote three kamiyos for three people, and they worked, chad, tlosa gavri chad zimna, gavra imsichi, Kamiya lo imsichi. So again, if you wrote three kamiyos for three people, and each of those kamiyos worked for each of the people, so ultimately that shows that the individual is a proficient kamiya writer, but of course it doesn't necessarily say anything about the kamiyos themselves, right? Because the kamiyos, again, kamiya only, remember, everything only becomes proven after it's been successful three times. So even after a kamiya is able to help with refuah once, it doesn't prove that it's a quote-unquote expert kamiya. Chad kamiya litlase gavri. If you write one kamiya for three different people, kamiya ismichi, the kamiya itself is proven to work. Gavrilo ismichi, but the individual is not considered to be an expert in kamiyos yet. Boy Rav Papa, tlasa kamiya lechad gavra mai. So the Rav Papa says, what about three kamiyos for one person? Three kamiyos for one person. Look at Rashi. Rashi points out over here. Tlasa kamiya, Rashi says, shal shalosh mine choli. So three different kamiyos for one individual. A person gets sick three different ways. Three different kamiyos for each of the sicknesses. Or one kamiya for each sickness. Mai. Kamiya vadai lo ismichi. Obviously, the kamiya is not proven to be an expert, because remember, each kamiya has only been used once. Gavra ismichi, olo ismichi. So is the individual, after this, is the individual proven to be an expert at kamiyos or not? Mi aminan ha asile. Do we say that it's the kamiyos of this individual that has healed the sick individual, and therefore, again, he's done it three different times, and therefore he's a proven kamiya writer? O dilma, or do we say, mazlo dahai gavra hu dekamikabel kisva? Or do we say, no, that the reason why this individual was healed three times was why? Because of his own mazel. Because it was on Mazel. This is always the great tension. Do the kamiyos really do anything? Right? Is it the kamiya that heals the individual? Is it the mazel of the individual heals the? Is it the tzilos that heal the? So the Gemara says, teiku. Truth is, we're not really sure. Not really sure. Okay. See, Ibalu, and the Gemara asks an interesting question. Kamiya yesh bahen mishum kedusha o dilma ein bahen mishum kedusha. Do kamiyos have any kedusha attached to them or not? Then I will say, what is the Gemara asking? What is the Gemara asking? Meaning that the kamiyos we know, remember, this is not obviously not talking about the herbal kamiyos. It's talking about the kamiyos that had the psukim, shemos, Hashem. They have names of God. They have psukim inu. So do the kamiyos have some level of kedusha to them? So the Gemara says the following: Lamai hilchasa. Thank you. So the Gemara says, why are you asking? Meaning, what's the practical ramification of this question? So the Gemara says, Ilema le'atzulinu mipnei hadalega. Maybe you'll say, it's talking about a case where what happens if halacha l'maaseh your house chasson catches on fire on Shabbos. So Rabbi says, so the question is now, can you go in and save the kamiyos on Shabbos? Can you go and save the kamiyos on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Tashma, now Rabbi says, remember, that in a vacuum, if your house catches on fire, chas v'shalom, and the only thing that's going to be suffered is a financial loss, you're not permitted to put out the fire on Shabbos. If there's a potential sakonas nefashos, like today, when we live in much closer proximity to each other, when there's electricity, all these different things, we put out fires on Shabbos, because every single fire is considered to be a suffix sakonas nefashos. But let's say, for argument's sake, you live in the middle of nowhere, there's no electrical lines. If your house burns down, nebuch, you're going to lose your house, but your whole family's out. No danger to anything. You can't put out the fire.
Forest fire.
I'm sorry?
If you're worried about a forest
fire. And that would be sakonas nefashos. Correct. That's what I'm saying. You live in the middle of nowhere, no trees, no people, nothing. The house is going to burn to the ground, and that's it. That's going to be the extent of the damage will be monetary in nature. You can't put it out. So the Gemara discusses what you can save and what you can't save. So the Gemara says, for example, can you go ahead and save your kamiyos? Can you go ahead and save the kamiyos? So the Gemara says, Tashma, habrachos v'hakmiyin, if the brachos and the kamiyin, look at Rashi for just a moment, brachos, Rashi says, shetiknu chachamim kigon tisha shara shashana, sheishva malchios zichronos and shofros. You know what a bracha is? A bracha is essentially a machzer. It's a sitter. Right? If you have tfilos written down on pieces of parchment, so brachos kamiyin, Afapi Sheshman Osios, even though they have letters. Now what it means when it says letters is letters ultimately Umi in Yanos Harbe Shiba Torah, and they have different pieces of the Torah, Ashtami Parshios Harbe, Shikos Vahenes, Mikrosho Rafua. So you have Psukim in them, you have Tfilos in them, nevertheless, Ein Matsilin Osam Mipneadaleka, you may not save them from the fire, Vinisrafin bin Koman, and they are burnt in their place. They're burnt in their place. Chazal created certain restrictions on what you can save, what you can't save, out of fear that a person, if we allow a person to just go in and save whatever they want, a person will come to put out the fire. Ela le'inyan geniza. So now we've seen that you can't save the geniza, you can't save the kamiya from a fire. So the question now is, what happens when you're finished with the kamiya? Do you have to put it in Seamus? Do you have to put the kamiya in Seamus or not? Geniza. Tashma. Hanyakasuv al yodos hakilim. This was a very interesting case. If a person had name of Hashem written on the handle of their utensil or on the leg of their bed, it's interesting. Yeah, psukim or Hashem was Hashem written on these things. So what should you do? Yogud v'yignezenu. You should cut it out and you should put it in Seamus. You should put it in the Gneza. Okay, so that's in Siyavi. So anytime you have something that has the Shem Hashem, the name of God, or Pesukim, you should put it in Seamus. So therefore we know the Kamiya would also go in Seamus. Eluli konispan bebeis hakisei mai. Rather, what the Gemara is really asking is, can you walk into the bathroom with a Kamiya? Can you walk into the bathroom with a Kamiya? So the Gemara says, mai. Yesh bahen kidusha va'asir. Do we say that since they have the Kamiya has Kedusha and that has Psukim or name of God, you can't walk in? Oh, Dilma ain't behind Kedusha Vashari. Or do we say no, the Kamiya doesn't really have a real level of Kedusha and therefore it's permitted to walk into the bathroom with it? So the Gemara says, Tashma, velo b'kamiya bizman she'eino min amoncha. So what is the what did we say before? You can't go out with the Kamiya when it's not from amoncha. Ha min amoncha nafik. So we see from here, what do we see from our Mishnah? That if the Kamiya was from Mumcha, you can't go out to Teran Shabbos. Now, why is this important? V'i Amrit Kamiya Yesh Pemishum Kedusha. And if you say that a Kamiya has Kedusha, therefore you won't be able to wear it into the bathroom. Zinnam Dimitztarech Levei Sakisei. There might be times where a person will need to use the bathroom. V'asi La'asu Yinhu Dalar Amos Bishos Arabim. And you'll come to carry Dalar Amos Bishos Arabim. So we'll say, you heard the Gemara saying, the Mishnah said, you can't go out with a Kamiya that's not from Mumcha. The inference from that is what? That if you have a proven Kamiya, you can go out with it. Now, says the Gemara like this. If it was true that a Kamiya had Kedusha, and therefore you wouldn't be able to wear it into a bathroom, you should never be able to go out with a Kamiya on Shabbos. Why? Because it could happen that when you're out, you'll have to use the restroom. And then what's going to happen? If the Kamiya has Kedusha, you have to take it off right before you go in, and you may come to carry it. The fact that that's not a concern in the Mishnah seems to indicate that what? That the Kamiya, in fact, does not have Kedusha, you can wear it into the bathroom. So the Gemara says, no. Hachav am I asking on? What's the case of the Mishnah? The Kamiya Shalikarin. We're talking about an herbal Kamiya. And an herbal Kamiya obviously doesn't have any kind of Kedusha associated with it. But the Gemara says, but 1 second, but the Braisa said, Echad Kamiya Shal Ksav, Ve'echad Kamiya Shalikarin. But the Braisa said that halacha l'maisa is not true, that all kamiyos are treated the same, whether it's a kamiya of herbs or whether it's a kamiya ultimately of psukim. Elohacha mayaskinos, therefore, what's the case over here? The chola sheyesh bo sakana. We're talking about a chola that has sakana. Chola who's in very dangerous situation. Chola sheyesh bo sakana. Ishakel leminei. So therefore the Gemara says like this, what are we talking about? A Chodeshish Bo Sakana. A Chodeshish Bo Sakana, we tell him, keep your Kamiya on no matter what, even if what? Even going into the bathroom. So that's when we allow someone to keep the Kamiya on, what's Chodeshish Bo Sakana. But the Gemara says, but 1 second, V'hatanya, Echad Chodeshish Bo Sakana, V'echad Chodeshish Bo Sakana. But the Gemara says, it's not true. The Braisa says that whenever the Gemara talks about Kamiya, it's true for a Chodesh Yish Bo Sakana, just like it's true for a Chodesh Shein Bo Sakana. Therefore, the Gemara says, Ela, Kevan de Masi, Afal Gav de Nukit Le Biode, Nami Shapir Dami. So the Gemara says like this, and it's actually very interesting. Rather, since a person is ill, even if he carries it in his hand, it's okay. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Afal Gav de Nukit Le Biode, Tachshitohu. Hilchach, inami maisle dalar amas biadaim lo mechayiv. Suppose now the Gemara makes an amazing suggestion. The Gemara says that once a kamiya becomes a necessity because a person is ill, then what? The manner of having a kamiya with you is not just wearing it. Even what? Even carrying it in your hand is called a form of wearing the kamiya. So Gemara says, now we're going to stop over here, but I'm just pointing out the Gemara is not finished with this idea, right? So the idea is anything you need for refuah, the Gemara is suggesting, you don't have to wear on your person. Rather, since by definition it's a necessity, even carrying it in your hand has the din of wearing, meaning like this, once it becomes a necessity, it has, according to what Rashi is suggesting over here, is it has the identity as a tachshit, as an adornment. And once it has the identity as an adornment, it need not be worn on your person to retain that identity. Even carrying it on your hand, in your hand, still allows it to have the identity as a tachshit. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that when it comes to this kamiya, if you need it, if a person is ill and they need it, therefore halacha l'maaseh, even if they're not wearing it on their person, it's still called a tachshit. You could even be holding it in your hand. Well, once you're holding it in your hand, that allows us to deal with the bathroom case. Why? Because the Gemara at least wants to suggest right now that may be the answer. Because again, if you're wearing it in your hand and your hand is closed around this, that the kamiya is not exposed, one may be able to take it into the bathroom even under those circumstances. That's how the Gemara wants to structure the case, that whether it's a chol sheish bo sakana, chol shein bo sakana, shel ikrin, shel psukim, whatever it is, you'd be able to go out with the kamiya on Shabbos, even if it has kiddusha, because when you wear it into the bathroom, you'd be able to keep it grasped in your hand, which would thereby preserve the kiddusha of the kamiya. We'll stop with Rav Osei, but again, I want to point out, we're stopping in the middle. This is not at the end of the sugya. The Gemara is going to question this very assertion on top of Samach Beis.